Well, today's message might be a little different from some that I bring, but it's what the Lord laid on my heart. We do have a responsive reading today. I think it'll be on the screen. It's also on an insert in the bulletin. And then the notes, if you like to follow along with the notes and everything, they're on the other side. So shall we stand in honor of God's Word? And this is a responsive reading. I'll read the light print, ask you to read the dark print, and join you on that final verse. Then Jesus left the vicinity of Tyre and went through Sidon, down to the Sea of Galilee and into the region of Decapolis. There some people brought to him a man who was deaf and could hardly talk, and they begged him to place his hand on the man. He looked up to heaven and with a deep sigh said to him, Ephphatha, which means be opened. At this the man's ears were opened, his tongue was loosened, and he began to speak plainly. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. May the Lord bless to our ears and to our hearts the reading of His word. Shall we pray? Father, we thank You this morning that You are here. We thank You that we are Your people, washed and redeemed by and bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. We thank You that we have been called to bear witness for You. And we pray this morning that You will loosen our tongues so that we may freely declare Your glories. And Lord, that You will loosen our tongues in an unprecedented fashion this year, 2008, that we may at the corporate body level and at the individual witnessing level make Jesus known more frequently, more effectively, and in a greater measure than we have ever done. And we ask it in Jesus' name. And God's people said, Amen. You may be seated. I think you already know where I'm going with this. If you are of those who like to use the notes, now would be time to get them. And I'm going to work backwards this morning. I usually would do this in the reverse order. But I want to just talk a little bit about speech and hearing. The man that was brought to Jesus, he had hearing problems and speaking problems. And it occurred to me that for every physical law or phenomena that you can observe, there is a parallel spiritual phenomena. And so this story is somewhat different. This healing story is somewhat different from many of the other healing stories in Scripture. And so I think that the Lord is telling us a whole lot more in this story than just the story of some poor guy over in Decapolis that was born, you know, basically deaf and with a tied tongue. And so we want to talk a little bit about this today, especially about the speech part of it, but we both. Do you have good hearing? Huh? Some of you may wear hearing aids in the natural, but how's your spiritual hearing this morning? And how many of you are tongue-tied? There are a lot of people that can speak freely about sports and the Super Bowl and all kinds of other things, but when it comes to talking about the Lord to friends or relatives or coworkers, all of a sudden, they've got a speech impediment. And so that is a malady that the Lord wants to free us of. And as I come back, and in the first Sunday, last Sunday, I was there the Sunday before, but we had a lot gone, but last Sunday was the first Sunday we had everybody back. And Ray Westmoreland, who is at the railroad and has been witnessing there for years, one-on-one, to the brakemen and engineers and different people there, he gave a word of testimony, and he said, "The Lord is using me as never before over at the railroad. God is giving me boldness, and I am witnessing for Him to everybody, including the bosses in the office." And he said, "There are several right now that are this close to coming to the Lord Jesus Christ." And he's already had fruit and seen people because, and you know Ray, he's just a nice guy, isn't he? Is there anything offensive about Ray? Not that I know of. He's just the lowest key guy in the world. If Ray can do it, you can do it. Can I hear an amen? And the Lord wants to loosen our tongues and He wants to free them up. But let's talk a little bit about hearing and speaking. Number one, we know this. This is so obvious. I think Savannah proved it for us this morning already. But number one, God created man with both the ability to speak and the ability to hear. Isn't that something? We are created in the image of God. A parrot can repeat a word here and there, but man is unique in that God gave him the ability to reason, to think ahead, and to speak intelligent speech. And that is so that we may speak to Him and speak of Him. Speech is a gift of God, and it is part of His image in you and in me. Men have taken their tongue to speak all kinds of trash and dirt. Amen? We hear four-letter words all too often now from four-year-olds. And that lets us know what's going on in the home because they didn't learn those words on their own, did they? And there is way too much dirty talk and all kinds of stuff out there. But God gave us a tongue so that we could speak, so that we could communicate, so that we could speak of Him and describe His glories, and so that we could be in communication with Him. And He gave us ears so that we can hear Him when He speaks and also communicate with those around us. And He gave us hearing, both in the natural and in the spiritual. And He gave us speaking ability. Also, if we're saved, if we're believers, both in the natural and in the spiritual. Number two, whenever speech or hearing are affected, communication suffers. Very, very obvious. I saw a thing this week somewhere, can't even remember where I saw it, that some website of the U.S. government says that this is the fourth most used language in the United States, and that it is a complex language. And they were speaking of sign language, because those who are deaf and can't speak, they have found another way to communicate. But when all things are normal and as they should be, God gave us a mouth so that we can speak clearly, and also gave us ears so that we can hear. And when either of these are affected, and in this particular man, both problems were present. But when either of these are affected, communication suffers. It may not go away completely, but it becomes more difficult, doesn't it? Number three. Christians need the ability to hear clearly and speak plainly. How is your hearing today? Uninhibited speech is essential for communicating the gospel, and good hearing is essential for hearing from the Lord. And some of us have good natural hearing, but our spiritual hearing is very, very occluded, very, very dull. And the scripture speaks of that, of those who have become dull of hearing. And it's not talking about those who have a natural hearing impairment. It's talking about those who just, God can't get through to them with His truth anymore. And even as believers, if we're tuned in to everything else all the time, how are we going to really be able to hear God clearly when He speaks to us? So the Lord wants us to have good spiritual hearing and the ability also to communicate, to speak. Number four, too many Christians suffer from speech and hearing impairments. Number five, the first thing the Lord did on the day of Pentecost, and of course the day of Pentecost was the day the church was born. Jesus is going to ascend. He says, stay in Jerusalem. Don't go anywhere until you've been endued with power from on high. And they went into the second level building they had rented, and they were praying and seeking the Lord around the clock for 10 days. Then came the day of Pentecost, and early in the morning there came like the sound of a rushing mighty wind, and tongues of fire appeared over them, and they indeed did begin to speak in other tongues. They began to speak in other languages, and there were many foreigners in Jerusalem for the Feast of Pentecost from many, many different language groups, and a crowd gathered because they could hear that sound, and then they heard all these people talking all these different languages, and they wondered what in the world was going on. And then when things settled down, Peter gets up, the one who a few weeks before was so afraid that he couldn't even admit that he knew Jesus to a little old servant girl in the high priest's palace. And he gets up and he says, men and brethren, let me tell you what this is. We're not drunk like some of you might think. It's way too early for that. But we have received what Joel the prophet spoke of, that in the last days God was going to pour out His Spirit on all flesh. And then he went on to preach Jesus and say, you crucified Him, but God has raised Him, and He is Lord of all. And this was like a reverse invitation. Instead of him saying, you all come, they were the ones who were saying, well, what do we need to do? You get that, you know there's some Holy Ghost preaching going on. When people start asking you, what do I need to do? We need to see more of that. And he says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. But the point is that the first thing God did for His servants was when the Holy Spirit came. And the reason He said, wait and don't do anything and don't go anywhere until you receive this, is because when the Holy Spirit came, He loosened their tongues so that they could be witnesses for Him. And that's what the Holy Spirit does, because He knows we're afraid, and He knows we have fears, and He knows we worry about whether we're going to say it right or whatever it is that our problem is. He knows that. And it's the Holy Spirit and His presence in our lives that overcomes that and opens our mouth so that we can speak for the Lord Jesus Christ. And that power is available to every believer. Can I hear an amen? Every believer, not some believers. He wants us all to have it. He wants all of us to be empowered to speak freely for Him. And number six, and we're going to get this from the story, Jesus is personally interested in our capacity to hear from Him and speak for Him. Jesus is personally interested in our capacity to hear from Him and speak for Him. He wants to open our ears and loosen our tongues. And so I just want to draw a few parallels here this morning with the story. Jesus has been in Tyre and Sidon, some far-flung place over in Gentile territory. Now He's over in Decapolis, over on the east side of the Jordan River, another unevangelized area that He only visited two or three times in His whole ministry, the area of the 10 cities. And there's a big crowd there, and He's doing a whole lot of stuff like He does. But we're only told in detail about one hard of hearing and one
hard of speaking man that was brought to him. These came out from the crowd, and they said, Lord, this man, he's deaf and he can hardly talk. Apparently he was tongue-tied, and he was able to almost speak in a garbled way, but it was very, very hard to understand what he was saying. And they said, Lord, it says that they came beseeching him that he would touch him and lay his hands on the man. They knew that Jesus could just lay his hands on somebody and they would be healed. And this is what they were expecting. But Jesus, always the master of the unexpected, does something different with this particular man. Instead of just putting his hands on him right there and just saying a prayer over him and going his way, he takes the man off away from the crowd over for a one-on-one. Everything is recorded for a reason. Jesus wants to have a one-on-one with this man. He wants to get away from the crowd. It's like, look at me. I want your attention. I am personally interested in your situation. And I am focusing right now just on you, to the point that I'm taking you away from the crowd, and it's just you and me. Folks, I think the Lord is telling us how personally interested He is in our being able to hear well and in our ability to be able to speak plainly as His people. He is interested enough to take us away from the crowd. He is interested enough to get over here and just focus on little old me. Was this man anything special? Was he a graduate of Harvard? Was he of the ruling class? Was he rich and influential? Nothing in this story suggests this. Everything in this story suggests that he was just a very, very dirt poor, you know, just nobody. We're not even told his name, are we? We're never told his name. You think he had a name? I'm sure he had a name. We're not told his name. And Jesus takes the time, because that's more time. Let's go off here, just you and me. Now, notice the second thing here. The personal way that Jesus goes about addressing his problems. He sticks his fingers in his ears. His fingers in his ears. Is that pretty personal? That might get in your space a little bit, do you think? You go to the doctor, yeah, let me stick my fingers in your ear. And then Jesus does something else even more unexpected. He spits, and then he puts some of the spit on the man's tongue. And I was reading this the other day, and I said, Lord, we understand things today that they didn't understand then. I've been watching CSI. Do you know what's in spit? DNA is in spit. And Jesus was mixing his DNA with the man's DNA. And Jesus is God's son. He's not a carrier. He's a healer. He wasn't going to get anything bad from Jesus' spit. Even his spit was sanctified. And then he speaks. Oh, but he didn't just speak. Everything is recorded for a reason. He looked up. I read this in one of the other accounts. He looked up to heaven. What's that? That's prayer. That's what he did before he blessed the loaves and the fishes, right? The last time we read about Jesus looking up was when he blessed the loaves and the fishes. He looks up and it says, and he sighed deeply. Now, I looked up the word, the Greek word. It can mean sigh or it can mean groan. I'm going with groan. How many of you have read where it says in Romans chapter 8, and the Spirit helps our weakness, because when we don't know what to pray or how to pray, He prays for us with groans that cannot be uttered. And he who knows the mind of the Father, he knows what the Father wants, and therefore he can make intercession for us in keeping with the Father's will. And I believe that that is exactly what was happening here. And Jesus was uttering something from way down inside. How concerned are you about somebody that doesn't know the Lord or they have a need? Do you ever feel something coming up from inside? And this, you don't groan unless you're feeling something. The Greek word, the root, means to be in a strait, to be in a tight place between like a rock and a hard place, to be in a strait, and so you groan. And then Jesus says, be opened. He's looked up. He's uttered a deep, unspoken prayer to the Father. And then he speaks and says, be opened. And I know that sometimes somebody who can't hear can't speak plainly because they can't hear the words to reproduce them. But that is not the case, because it says, and the string or the bond of his tongue was loosened. So he was tongue-tied as well. He did have a physical impediment to his speech. And at the same time that the ears were opened, the tongue was loosed. And it says he heard clearly and he spoke plainly. Hallelujah. And that's what God wants to do for each and every one of us. And my prayer this year is that very thing. God's already started it. This thing, experiencing God, was done here years ago. We still talk about it. We probably should do it again. But the big truth that everybody, I hear other Bible teachers and I hear people from other congregations, I've heard it just in the last month or two, and that is what stays with people. See where God is working and then what? Join him in it. And God has already started, because with the testimony of Ray and what's happening over there, that's a glimpse for me of what God wants to do in our whole church. And he wants to use you. And then this morning, Marty sticks his head in the door and he's fooling around, you know, like he does. And some in the class are saying, get out of here. You're holding us up. But he came to ask for prayer. Who did you come to ask prayer for? Your neighbor Karen. For what? There you go. Is God talking? And God wants to reproduce this thing all over the place. Because in the end, a witness has to get around to speaking. A witness speaks of what they have seen and heard and personally experienced. But the whole word witnesses, eventually they've got to get around to telling it. What good would a witness be, and you call him in and he's your star witness in this trial, and then when he gets up there, he can't open his mouth? How far is that going to go? So we do witness with our lives, but it's more than that. These people need to hear the truth, and they need to know the truth. They may be able to see from our lives that there's something different, but can they really understand why Jesus came? Can they really understand how much he loves them? Can they really understand what the Lord wants to do in their lives until we begin to open our mouths? So I want to pray today for our congregation. And it is, Lord, yes, open our ears to hear you. And most of all this year, loosen our tongues. A lot of you have a string on your tongue. It's a string of fear. It's a string of lack of self-confidence. It's a string of whatever. And the Lord wants to break that string so you can witness freely for him. And he'll do it. You want him to do it, he'll do it. Let's pray. Father, we come to you today. Lord, we know how insufficient we are in ourselves. And yes, we know how we talk about sticking our feet in our mouths, and we talk about stumbling on our words, and we talk about all this stuff. But Lord, you are able to open our mouths so that we may speak for you. and this is your desire, because you've got people out there right now that need to hear what we have to share. They need to hear what you've done for us. They need to hear what you can and want to do for them. And they're not going to hear it unless we open our mouths. We keep waiting for somebody else to do it, and we're the one that you want to use. So, Lord, I pray today, get rid of the impediments. Get rid of the blockages. Get rid of the bonds and the strings and the all of that. And set our hearts free, set our minds free, set our tongues free, that we may be able to boldly speak for you. I think of the Apostle Paul and how he would get up and preach in a town square or anywhere, and yet he says to the believers, pray for me that I won't be timid, and that when it's time to speak, I'll say what needs to be said. Oh, Lord, it's your love. It's your love working through us. You want to reach people, and you're going to do it through words. So loosen our tongues, Lord. Loosen our tongues to speak for you. Work in us now, Lord, today. As we come and take this communion also, let us remember the price that was paid. That's exactly what you want us to be sharing. So as we experience it, then help us to be able to share it with someone else. We thank you now, and we give you all the praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.